My understanding is that the family and the older brother actually came from Chechnya, which is in the Caucasus, but that they had moved to Kyrgyzstan, the Russians say Kyrgyzia, and that that's actually where the family lived for a number of years, and the younger brother, Jokhar, apparently was born there, and possibly a couple of sisters. And the two areas are really quite different. Kyrgyzstan is one of the former Soviet Central Asian republics. It was significant for having the status of a republic, which meant that it was guaranteed a certain amount of cultural autonomy. And it is very close to the border with China on the one side and Tibet and Afghanistan. It's not far from the border with Afghanistan. The population is overwhelmingly, traditionally at least, Muslim. But the degree of religiosity is very difficult to measure because of decades of Soviet anti-religious education and agitation starting in the 1920s and going through into the end of the Soviet period in 1991. Kyrgyzstan is mountainous, and it has been the scene of a couple of anti-government rebellions and government change over the last 5 or 6 years. And so it is sort of peculiarly a little bit more free than Russia actually is, because there is a new political leadership there. But if you were coming from Chechnya, the mountainous terrain and the climate would be familiar. So it would make a certain amount of sense for the Chechens to seek an environment that was similar to their original environment and go to this mountainous and rather cold area. But Kyrgyzstan is also, because of its remoteness and its distance from Moscow, and also because it was added into the Russian Empire at the last portion of the 19th century, was never as fully controlled as other parts of the old Russian Empire. And so it was able to, at least people were able to feel a little bit less thoroughly incorporated. Although the Soviet system was just so efficient at getting its message out and incorporating all the populations that it was really thoroughly Soviet. It in the post-Soviet years, which would be the lifetime of both of these young men, it does have a little bit more latitude. It does have a private economic sector. And as I said, it had political unrest that has led to a government that is not that are not former communists. Now, the fact that they're Chechens puts a really different color on it. And I say this really cautiously because without evidence that shows that they really were acting with some connection to Chechnya or without an actual network, I wouldn't want to suggest that simply because they're Chechens, they fit into the anti-Russian groups that are functioning in Chechnya. But Chechnya is within the Russian sphere of influence, has been fighting back very hard against Russian domination for not just decades, but really for the century and a half that it's been under Russian rule. Chechnya is a territory that's in the middle of the Caucasus Mountains, and that's a rather high mountain range at the southern edge of the Russian Republic, and it stretches between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. And it's an area with a large number of different peoples, different ethnic groups, different nationalities, who speak languages which are not mutually intelligible and in some cases are not even related to one another. And so moving from one area to another, you'd be encountering people very different from yourself if you happen to be from one of these areas and speaking different languages. But Islam has been very strong in this area since before the 19th century. And with the Russian conquest, which began around the 1830s, Islam became one of the tools that the local leadership was able to use to mobilize people against the Russian invaders. And so as we look in both 19th and then 20th centuries, you'll see a lot of Islamic rhetoric from decade to decade, but varying degrees of loyalties, varying degrees of organizations, and different intensity of rigidity, different degrees of what outsiders might consider extremism around Islam.
Would that extremism have been present at the time that the particularly the time that the older brother was living there?
Yes, Chechnya has been at basically at war with Russia since the Gorbachev period, the late Gorbachev period. So really there's been a great deal of fighting back and forth, and the Russians came into Chechnya and hit the Chechens with all of their modern weapons, aerial attack, bombing, artillery, all sorts of, you know, all the weapons at their disposal. And the Chechens fought back a guerrilla-style war because they were less numerous. They were at a huge disadvantage in terms of available weapons and so on. And during the 90s, they were off and on, and sometimes for long periods, fighting against the Russians with all the weapons you'd expect a weaker group to be using. So really guerrilla-style warfare. And so if the older brother, if Tamerlan is 26, then yes, he would have grown up precisely in that context. But a lot will depend on what time period they discover that his family left Chechnya and moved to either Kazakhstan, which I saw in one report, or Kyrgyzstan, which I saw elsewhere. Kazakhstan would be a much more mixed area, and lots of Russians, and under post-communist leaders, by which I don't only mean after the fall of communism officially, but the president of Kazakhstan, Nazarbayev, is a former Communist Party leader. So that would have been a rather different experience for the family and for this young man if they had gone to Kazakhstan as opposed to Kyrgyzstan.
And is there any is there a history of violence, a history of animosity towards the West in either of those two regions?
There is not. Most of the violence that you would see, and certainly all the fighting that has taken place in the 20th century across Central Asia, has really been directed toward the Russians, because it was the Russians, first under the Tsars and then under the Communist Party leadership, that took over these areas, took away their independence, which had varying manifestations, sometimes local groupings, sometimes something more large-scale and organized, and then attempted to, in the Soviet period, attempted to impose the whole Soviet system, which undermined the culture and the traditional way of life. And so all of the resistance was directed toward the Russians. And there was just really not very much exposure on the part of the Kazakhs or the Kyrgyz toward Europe or toward the United States for them to decide that there was a reason to be opposed to the West. Some of them might have been involved at some point in the fighting in Afghanistan, or may have been conscious of that. But again, that would be directed toward the Soviets and then toward ethnic Russians rather than toward some image of the 19th century British Empire. So for people this age, born in the last part of the 20th century, it's most likely that the enemy that they would be seeing would be the Russians.
Professor, anything else you'd like to add?
I'd like really to stress that until we actually have some evidence, I wouldn't want to be suggesting that just because of their identity, they must necessarily be extremists of that nature. And, of course, the law enforcement people will go through all of the various possibilities, but I don't want to be prejudicing public opinion and saying, well, you know, they come from a Chechen family, so they therefore must be terrorists. That's certainly not the case.
In fact, there was an uncle who's been on television this morning, was on the interview, apparently lives in Maryland, who was rather vehement in his assertion that this had nothing to do with Chechnya.
That's perfectly plausible, especially since they left Chechnya at such a young age. And if their family was motivated to leave, that suggests even that it's more likely that they were leaving in order to escape the violence and try to give their children some kind of more normal upbringing. And the family couldn't have been a very, you know, the parents couldn't have been very old if they then continued to have several more children from Central Asia. And then they went, they left the continent entirely and came to the United States, apparently around 2001. And so there are just so many different possibilities that I think I would be speculating, I think everybody would just be speculating, to try to connect these things to the actions which they alleged, are alleged to have carried out this past week. And there are lots of reasons why people turn to violence if these particular people indeed did that. And I'd rather hope that people would be looking at the particulars of this case rather than simply making an assumption that because they come from a particular area of the world or because they express the idea that they are Muslims, that somehow that is the causal factor. And it really isn't. I did go to the trouble of looking at one of the social media sites that this young man, Joe Carr, actually maintained. And as late as last March, he was putting up on it an interesting sort of a black humor, a sort of a bitter joke. And the joke was, it was interesting that the website was, his entries were all in Russian. They were not in Chechen, which I wouldn't have been able to read, but they were also not in Kyrgyz or something else, which I might have recognized from my knowledge of other Turkic languages. But the joke he had up there was to say, there's a car and it's moving, and in the car is a Chechen, an Ingush, and I'm forgetting the third, a Dagestani or something, people from the Caucasus Mountains. And the question is, who's driving? And the answer is, a policeman. And so he was, as recently as March, able to articulate this sense that we're being victims, we're victimized, the police are going to assume that we are the criminals, and yet to express that in the form of this joke. And so I would leave it to the psychologists to analyze the implications of that. But the fact that he was maintaining this social media, I didn't see in my brief examination expressions of hatred or violence. So I'm thinking there's a lot to this story that is yet to unfold.